You're listening to the King of the Fort podcast, offering in-depth analysis on all things Boston Celtics with your hosts, Jim and Mike Quigley.
Hey, everyone. So the Celtics are now 5-0, which means they're on pace for what, Mike?
82-0.
As they dispatched the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday night in a game that was fairly competitive up until, you know, the last few minutes of the game where the Celtics pulled away and kind of held on to a 10-point lead. But, you know, decent win on the road. Wasn't the best game they played all year, kind of a weak third quarter. But it was another game, Mike, where they put up 70 points in the first half. And this offense just continues to click. What did you like from this game on Saturday night? I know some of it you listened to from the car.
Yeah. Two things in particular I'm going to go with. Less of a scheme and more of players. So Jason Tatum continues to look like unstoppable when he's locked in. Whether you're throwing two guys at him and he's going to the basket, his finishing at the rim is just really impressive. It's almost like he took another step forward where he's even stronger this year with his post game and the way they get out and run with him and Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday just going right to the basket. I thought that second quarter was a good example of how the Celtics can just really beat it up on you when you're not making shots or, well, the Nets weren't turning it over. The Nets only had one turnover going into the end of the third quarter, which was really impressive. But when the Nets were missing, which was rare, the Celtics were getting out and running, and that's how they got that 12-point lead in the second quarter. And then I thought the bench really struggled, except for one guy in particular. Luke Kornet had his best game of the season, and I feel like he really kept the Celtics in the game. He played some really big minutes, scored 8 points. I think he had 7 rebounds. He really contributed, and that was important to the win. He got some minutes in the fourth quarter. I kept Al Horford fresh, and hopefully we can have more nights like that because the Celtics don't have a lot of depth at that position. So I thought that was promising too.
Yeah, no, Luke Kornet, it was good because it was a situation where the Nets went into the game without a ton of size. Claxton and Simmons were both out. And you were going to be able to get some easy opportunities if your bigs ran and they came off their roll hard. And he did that. And you saw that he got a couple of hoops just by beating the other bigs down the court and being able to throw the ball high to them. And then also, you know, designing some plays, you know, coming out of the screen and roll, you have that nice little alley-oop from Holiday. So, you know, he definitely showed up. I think he was 11 points, 7 rebounds, had a couple and ones. Really, his best game of the season, season highs. And you need that. You're going to need that not just from him, but from other guys to kind of step up on different games if you want to win these kind of, you know, road slugs sometimes. And I didn't think it was a great game from the Celtics, but, you know, you hit on it and you kind of stole my thunder. They just continue to run any opportunity they get, you know, and the opportunity was kind of limited because they weren't causing turnovers. And in the third quarter in particular, they were giving up a lot of points to the basket pretty easily. But they push and they push and they push. And by doing that, I think you get to the fourth quarter with the amount of talent they have. They just break teams' will. The last thing I really liked, Mike, was Porzingis' range. You know, 1 foot on the logo and nothing but net. And during the game, you know, Scal said, oh, he was up against low clock. And I went back and watched. It was actually still 10, 11 seconds on the shot clock. It wasn't low. He was open. But I didn't realize he had that type of depth on his shot. It just, again, goes to, and he shot it with confidence. It wasn't like this heave either. He shot it with confidence. He just goes back to the talent on this team. And you mentioned Jason Tatum. There are times where, you know, he just seems unguardable going through traffic. And his post game, you can just see it. The confidence he has when he's catching the ball, either on the high post or down on the mid block, he just, you know, he feels the contact and he just kind of goes from there. It's a nice thing to see. It's an added element, and with his strength and size, you know, he's going to get some good looks. And you've seen other superstars kind of go to this as they get further along into their career. What I do like is he's just not settling for fadeaways from the post. You know, he's actually making moves, getting to the basket and getting to the line. So it's all good. You know, 5-0, that's a good. Mike, what about the bad for you?
Yeah, I think for last night or two nights ago in particular, I'll start with Jaylen Brown's three-point shooting. He was 2-for-13. A lot of those threes were wide open looks that he's getting because there's so much talent on the floor around him. And so teams are sagging off him a little bit. And I think teams are sagging off him a little bit because he's struggling from three just overall this season. I think now he's like 11 for 55 or like 12 for 55 or something like that. I was listening to Grandy on the radio. That's going to change. Jaylen Brown's going to hit his threes, but obviously he just had a tough night against the Nets from the outside. I mean, you put up 13 threes, you expect to hit more than two, especially a guy that talented. And then just the Celtics bench. I know they played well against Indiana, but against a better opponent in the Nets, I thought Peyton Pritchard was really bad. And same with Sam Hauser. And they were on the floor. I don't want to blame them for the comeback because the starters were not playing well in the third quarter, and the Nets were really hot from three. I think Mikal Bridges had 9 points in that third quarter, a couple other guys, and obviously Sharp was really hurting the Celtics inside in that third quarter. That's played well, but you really didn't get much from Pritchard and Hauser. Again, it's just something to keep an eye on moving forward.
Yeah, I thought a lot of Brown's threes were online. They kind of rimmed out, especially in that fourth quarter. A few of them I thought for sure were going in. They just rimmed out. But as far as what I'm concerned about, I just thought that third quarter defense was really bad at times. It wasn't even as much the threes. I felt like Cam Thomas and Dinwiddie and Bridges were getting to whatever spot they wanted to on the floor, and they were getting to the rim and either making the layup with not a lot of forcing the contest, or they were getting to the rim and they were able to find the open man. And you saw that 12-point lead kind of dwindle away quickly. And the Celtics, you know, again, it was kind of their offensive talent that had them tread water. And I think they might have been up two going into the fourth or down two or something. I forget. But it wasn't great. And over the course of 82, you see that happen. But that's the attention to detail I want to see them have all the time if they want to be a championship team. You know, offensive game will leave you. And there'll be times this year where they'll have guys out and they're going to struggle on offense. But if they can maintain that intensity on the defensive end, that's really the hallmark of championship teams. The other thing I wanted to mention, and I forgot of what I liked, I continue to like their offensive rebounding. It seems, if you look at differences between this year and last year, I think they're just much more active on the offensive glass. Really, since the Garnett days, the Celtics have had a philosophy of just get back and take away the transition D. And, you know, there's a lot of good, solid, sound evidence on why you should do that. They've made a conscious choice to kind of change that a little bit, right? You see Al crashing the glass way more than I can remember him doing it. And you're seeing other guys as well. And they're getting second, third looks at times, which really isn't something we're used to seeing as Celtics fans. So I wanted to mention that, forgot, and that's that. Mike, your overreaction.
It's hard to have an overreaction from this last game.
Yeah.
I guess I'm keeping an eye on how they came out in the third quarter because that was a area of concern last year. And they were flat. They were up by 12, and they weren't you know, it's something we've seen from this team in the past against lesser opponents where they let them come back in the game after they play really well to end the half. So for me, that's something to keep an eye on. My overreaction from like across the league is I think officiating has been horrendous. Not just at Celtics games, but in the NBA in particular. I don't know if you saw the end of the OKC and Warriors game, but I just don't understand how you review an obvious call for 6 minutes. It took them 6 minutes to review it, and then they overturned and said that it wasn't a goaltending when Draymond Green clearly touched the rim and the ball. I'm just stunned. Like, anytime there's a review in the NBA now, it's just a mystery, even when it's obvious. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen. And I just think it's atrocious how bad the officiating is now in the NBA.
Yeah, I think the one thing I do like with officiating this year that's different is I love the flop call. And I think you've seen less flops because of it. It's just
not Draymond Green. He gets away with it.
Well, yeah, but I think you've seen across the league. They are calling it. They are teeing people up. And I like the fact, too, on it that it's, you know, you can't get thrown out for two of them. And also, they don't stop play. So if an offensive team has an advantage and someone just flopped, they'll continue with the play until there's a defensive change of possession and then or dead ball. And then they'll tee the person up. I like it. Yeah. I think it's good for the game. I think it was infected all levels of the game, honestly. You know, I even, you know, when I was officiating, saw it at the high school level. At points were just ridiculous. And I think it gets back to integrity. And I think it's a good thing. My overreaction is those sunglasses or whatever they were that Mizzou was wearing in Brooklyn. In an arena that's already like dark to begin with and filled with just the douchiest people in North America. You know, come on. You're not Joe Maddon. Don't be Joe Maddon. Don't be Nick Nurse. These guys who, you know, after the game, you know, goes and has a glass of Chardonnay and wears their cool glasses. Like, just be a coach. Just be a coach. Don't do that. I hate it. I know it doesn't affect the game one way or the other, but it really bothers me. So please don't wear those glasses again. That's my overreaction. And my thought from around the league, just a couple of surprises, Mike.
Like the glasses. All right.
Yeah, I do not like the glasses. I just really douchey. Don't they look douchey? Am I wrong?
Unless he needs them, which we don't know.
They were like borderline sunglasses.
He might think this might be subscription glasses that the guy is getting migraines or something. You don't know.
They were like, no, they were for style. You can tell they were for style. It was the type of move that.
Be careful. All right.
The Miami Dolphins coach would wear something like those with a gold plated sunglasses. Just so bothers me, but whatever. Couple of surprises from around the league just early on is, I don't know if this is so much a surprise, but the way Philadelphia is playing, it's not that drag ass, foul hunting, flopping, just style that you're so used to. That was, you know, especially when Harden got there, that made it that much worse. Maxey's brought an element to this team with his improved play and, you know, with Harden gone, where I not only are they better, I think, which they are, I think they're more entertaining for the first time in a long, long time. You can put on a Sixers game and not fall asleep with the plotting nature of it and the flops and everything else. The other team that just has surprised me, and I know everyone knew going into the season they weren't going to be very good, but just how bad Memphis has been. You know, they got the win last night in Portland, thanks to like a run of 26-4 to end the game. But they, you know, to start the season 0-8 or 0-7 and lose games the way they have and just not be competitive, in other games, you know, either shows how much they miss Ja Morant or just shows something that's really incredibly wrong over there. And which I think it's probably the latter, something that's really incredibly wrong over there. And, you know, some changes that probably needs to be made. You know, this has been a team that's consistently won over 50 games and they've just been terrible. I know without their best player, but 0-7 or 0-6 or whatever the heck they were, you don't expect to see.
Yeah, I have this eerie feeling in my gut that Marcus Smart's going to end up in Milwaukee or Philadelphia by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, he'd be a guy to trade, that's for sure, to recoup some things if you want to move on.
Yeah. So just around the league, I agree on Philadelphia. They look really good, and that'll be a good test next week for the Celtics. One thing that I really am keeping an eye on is Minnesota has the best defense in the league right now. This is a big test for the Celtics tonight. The two bigs are working out. Karl Anthony Towns is playing well in the offensive end. Gobert looks like he actually is buying into his role that he used to have in Utah, where he's not really getting the ball, but he's making a big difference defensively. Mike Conley looks like he found the fountain of youth a little bit with his defense to start the year. And Anthony Edwards, I think, could be in the MVP conversation. So it's very interesting out west because as I just watch the way things are headed, Sacramento could be taking a big step back after playing well last year. There's a lot of good teams out west, and I think we're going to see a very interesting playoff race as far as who's actually going to make it in and who's going to be playing in the play-in. Now, this is a big test for the Celtics tonight because you mentioned the offensive rebounding has been affecting their play and helping them out. That's going to be very challenging tonight. The two bigs from Minnesota are going to challenge the Celtics. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup in particular on the road, playing a team that has been locked in defensively to start the year. And that is not something Minnesota was doing last year. Despite the fact that they should have been good defensively many nights throughout the season, they just looked, you know, uninterested. And that's why I think they were like the 9th seed going into the playoffs last year. So,
When they played good offenses this year, it hasn't been great. When they, you know, they did get a nice win against the Nuggets, that's for sure. And
I think they held them to 86 points.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting how they match up against the Celtics with Gobert and Towns. I don't know exactly what they're going to do there. I don't think either one of them can get out on any of the five that the Celtics have on the floor. So it'd be interesting to see how the Celtics mismatches. I tell you, Vegas agrees with you, Mike. It's only a 4-point spread. With the Celtics, giving up 4, which is, you know, an interesting line the way they've been playing. So Vegas absolutely agrees with you. They're playing better, and you're right on Anthony Edwards. I think, he took a step up over the summer playing in the World Games. He was clearly their best player, played well on a team that didn't. And I think these are probably the games that he has circled, right? That you would not be shocked to see him carry a team by himself and score 50 points. And he's certainly capable of that. He can get going both from three and getting to the rim. So, interesting game.
I think it is an interesting game, especially on the road in an early season test. An early season tests like this next week or so, where the Celtics have Minnesota, Philadelphia, and the Knicks again next Monday.
And the Celtics are not going to treat all 82 like a championship, so they're going to lose eventually, right?
No, they're going 82-0. Yeah. My other reaction around the NBA, and this will be my last one, is it looks like Chris Paul's fitting in great in Golden State. And they may be a problem for everybody in the league. They rotate guys in and out. They're deep. You know, whether it's Andrew Wiggins and their young guys are playing well now, it looks like they drafted well again. They have an opportunity to add, I think, come the trade deadline to get another big. And they just look, Golden State looks very for real this year. And I didn't really expect them, I guess, to play this good coming out of the gate. I thought it was going to take time. And I know they lost last night, but I think you know, only one or two losses, and they look really good so far to start the year, especially offensively.
Yeah, you did get smacked around a little bit last night, but that was kind of a tough spot in a game I think Cleveland really, really needed.
Right. Yeah, because yeah, so. Cleveland's been struggling.
Yeah, and it's kind of so not entirely unexpected that that happened. Yeah, no. Hey, and as for tonight's game, it's a great slate. There's a ton of games going on tonight.
Yep.
A ton of games. Two games that, you know, if you're interested in going on your favorite gambling app, whatever that might be, that I like tonight, and, you know, don't take my advice, but if, you know, I were to throw money on things, I would like Philadelphia giving up 11 to the Wizards, and I would like at home, the OKC Thunder getting 3.5 against the Hawks. They're at home, a home dog, and I think they play quite well this year. They can score with Atlanta, that's for sure. And I just think there's a toughness with this OKC team where they're never really going to get blown out. That's my thought.
I don't have any betting advice other than the Hawks have looked good this year. They're playing well. All right, Jim. All right. So we will reconnect again soon. Big game tonight for the Celtics against Minnesota. I know they have Philadelphia this week. Is there anybody else they have this week that I'm missing out on?
Their schedule this week. So they got Minnesota, then they got Philly on Wednesday. And then Friday, that in-season tournament against the Nets, which I guess we can talk about later this week. That's something that just feels so gimmicky to me that I just don't care.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, everybody, enjoy the games this week. We'll talk to you soon.